Welcome to Clued Up with Maria B, the behind-the-scenes photography podcast. Clued Up is your insider's view to building successful magazine-style photo shoots. We talk design and concept, fashion and style, tech, social media, and of course, business, plus so much more, including how to avoid common photography pitfalls. You'll also meet some special guests who work behind the camera and in front of the lens. Whether you're an aspiring photographer, a portrait photographer thinking about starting your own business, or you just have an interest in what it takes to plan and execute professional shoots, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Maria B. Now let's get you clued up. Hi, everybody. It's Maria B. And thank you for joining me for this week's episode of Clued Up, the Behind the Scenes Photography Podcast. This week, we are going to talk about something that all of us who are photographers are affected by. The title of this week's episode is 10 Tips to Help Your Photography Education. Investing in yourself. And this is an important topic because if you're into photography, not only are you spending money on gear, but you also tend to spend money on educating yourself to become a better photographer. So I thought it was worthwhile to have an episode that discussed this topic. Let me just start by saying that when I think about photography education, I think of it in two distinct parts. The first part is true photography education, and that is instructions and education provided by experts in order to teach those of us who are looking to learn more about photography, whether it's from the perspective of tech or science or art or business or whatever. The second part of photography education, at least through my eyes, is the business of photography education. And that's the entire industry within the world of photography that's dedicated to making money from those of us who want to learn more. So my advice is just to be cautious. When you see an ad on social media, do your research and learn about that person or that company. Now, that's not to say that someone who's new can't be good, and it's certainly not to say that they're a fraud, but you want to make sure that they are authentic and that they have a solid reputation and solid work to back them up. We're going to talk a little bit about photography education in its many forms. I'll also share with you many of the people I follow, many of the photography educators I follow and why I follow them. And I'll share my views on photography education done right. Here we go. Let me start by saying, like many of you, over the years, I have scoured the internet looking for and looking at articles, blogs, videos, YouTube videos, podcasts, and any means possible to try to learn more about photography, whether it's lighting, post-processing, posing, exposure, using gels, and on and on and on. And all that in addition to over the years going to live seminars, live classes, online seminars and webcasts, local, national, and international conferences, and any other means possible, all in the name of learning more about this craft that I love. I hope by listening to today's episode, you get a few takeaways about photography education so that you can make the best choice for yourself when it comes to your photography education. I want to start by talking about learning styles. I suggest that you take a good look at yourself in terms of your preferred learning style. There are several types of learning styles, depending on who you listen to, depending on the source. There are anywhere from 3 to 7 well-known and well-recognized learning styles, and probably even more. So here, I'm just going to give you a brief description about 7 of the most popular or well-known learning styles, and just see which style or styles work best for you. So first we have the visual learner, and that's pretty self-explanatory. The visual learner is someone who learns best by seeing pictures, videos, diagrams, boards, etc. Seeing things is the most effective way for these individuals to learn. Number 2 is the oral, then that's A-U-R-A-L, the oral or auditory learner. And this means that these individuals learn best through listening. Number three is the verbal or linguistic learner. This is someone who's an individual that learns best through the combination of speech in combination with listening and watching someone speak. Number four is the kinesthetic learner, and that's someone who learns best through tactile or activity or by touch. Number five is the logical learner, and this is someone who learns through or uses reasoning, the use of science, and mathematical equation. So every once in a while, you meet somebody who's into photography, not because it's an art form, but because it's a science, and they can take a really good picture because they understand the science. Number six is the social learner, who learns best through interpersonal relationships. So this is the person who does better through interpersonal communication, either with one other person, meaning one-on-one, or within groups, whether that's a group of two or a group of 10 or even more. And number seven is the solitary learner, and that's someone who learns best while they're alone. So they prefer a quiet place with minimal distractions. These types of learning styles do not exist in isolation. So many people, they learn best with a combination of two or three different types of learning styles. It's a good idea to look at yourself and determine your preferred style or styles of learning. This should influence how you and from whom you choose to receive your photography education. For example, if you're a visual learner, you may not comprehend as much by listening to a podcast or listening to an instructional recording. You may be able to comprehend and learn more, however, if the podcast has an associated website where you can not only listen, but also see what the speaker is talking about. Just think about last week's episode where I talked about aperture. No matter how much I read or listened to lectures on aperture or the exposure triangle, I only began to comprehend it by taking photos at different apertures. So if you are more of a kinesthetic learner, you may learn best by touch. So you need instructions on camera settings. You may learn this best by actually having the camera in front of you or in your hands and following along while watching a video. Obviously, if you learn better in a quiet place, you may benefit from watching a video alone compared to a collective gathering or even a Zoom encounter on whatever that given topic is. So the goal is to look at yourself and find what works best for you. I'm a combination of visual, linguistics, and kinesthetics. I learn best by seeing, by listening, and by actually doing. For that reason, when I've been at workshops and photographers asked someone to assist, I would volunteer because I learn better by doing than just sitting, watching, and listening. It's important that you label your type of learning, but my suggestion is just that you have some type of awareness as to how you learn best. If you know that, then you know if you learn more about photography by watching and listening to videos, by listening alone, or by actually doing what the speaker's talking about while you listen. Or maybe you will learn more by partnering up with someone. Long and short of it, simply know how you learn. Have you ever noticed that the best seminars and the best conferences are the ones in which participants don't just listen, but they actually participate? People learn more and learn better when more senses are involved because more of the brain is active. If you've attended enough photography conferences, perhaps now you understand why it is that although you sat and listened for some time, you still lacked clarity on a particular topic. You probably learned more by going on a photo walk or some other type of activity in which you were an active participant than you did sitting in an auditorium or in a class just listening. So moving on yet along the same lines, I'd like to impart to you a little bit about my educator wisdom. And that is, Knowing something, and even knowing it well, does not make anyone a good educator. For some people, teaching comes naturally. For others, it takes a great deal of practice. And for some, it's really not their jam. That's part of the reason why we as photographers spend so much time on YouTube, because we're looking at videos on the same topic, trying to find someone who is a really good educator and who teaches in a way and in a style that we can relate to and who we believe we can easily learn from. Now, while we spend a lot of time on YouTube doing this, and there's no harm except for the loss of time, this really becomes an issue when we start purchasing videos and subscribing to educators. You may want to consider that perhaps the problem isn't you. Perhaps it's that, one, the teaching methods used do not really appeal to your best method for learning. Or perhaps the educator, the instructor, is not that good of a teacher. Again, knowing something does not make someone a good educator. I'll share with you that I've had two experiences taking really expensive photography classes in which it was perfectly clear that the instructors were at the top of their photography game, but they were not good at translating their knowledge to others. They had no background in education or in educating. And that is not to say that I think that's necessary, because I really don't. But everyone is not a natural born teacher. In one case, I paid in excess of $3,000 for a 4-month class at a university in New York to learn photography and to learn professional editing. I remember being really upset some weeks after the course finished when I wanted to edit a photo and still didn't know how to perform a particular function. Some part of me, correctly or incorrectly, believed that after $3,000 and 4 months, I should have known how to do this. But that aside, my real issue, and an issue with other members of my class, was that the person who taught the course, in retrospect, seemed more concerned with showing the class how good of an artist he was and how good of a Photoshop expert he was. And for me, that's the key difference. Good educators are people who want to teach because they want others to learn, not because they know they're really, really good at something or that they're an expert and they want to show how much they know. Here's a list of people I follow, or people who I have followed, or whose classes I've attended over the years and have taught me the most about photography in ways that I can understand. You can find a link to their websites or to their teaching platforms in the show notes. Matthew Jordan Smith, Jerry Gionis, Sue Bryce, Tamaya Colvin, Lola Milani, Earth Oliver, who is actually a retoucher, Steve Saporito, Dixie Dixon, Felix Kuntz, and Pratik Naik. Obviously, there are many, many more, but this is just a sample of people who, at least for me, are really, really good educators, in addition to being experts in their craft. Here are some education platforms that have also been helpful for me, but I suggest you find these individuals on YouTube or on their website and begin learning from there before joining paid subscriptions. You have to find someone who teaches in the best manner specific for your style of learning. Aaron Nace from Phlearn, Phlearn. Sue Bryce, Sue Bryce Education. Tamaya Colvin, Tamaya Colvin Education. Jerry Gionis, Steve Saporito, Matthew Jordan Smith, Lola Milani. Obviously, the people on this list, most of them are also people on the first list. So next, I'd like to talk about how much you should spend on photography education. And that's a really difficult question to ponder. Let me just start by saying that what's important here is not so much the dollar amount, but the value that a class, a webinar, a conference, a video, or a subscription brings to you and to your photography. Where most of us fall short is that we purchase a video because it's on sale, but we fail to view it in its entirety and to maximize how much we can learn from it. You should also give some consideration to what's an appropriate purchase for where you are in your photography career or as a hobbyist. If you're just starting out, you may not be ready for a course or a video on using gels or frequency separation or a three-light setup. If you're not comfortable with basic retouching in Photoshop, you may not be ready for a video on compositing. No one is ever going to object to you purchasing their product. You have to be smart about how you spend your money and what adds value to your photography. If you're going to invest in a monthly subscription, make sure to use it. For example, Sue Bryce Education costs $35 a month, or slightly less if it's purchased annually. For $35 a month, you gain access to discussions, live shoots, tons of videos and downloads, and discussions and presentations on every topic under the sun when it comes to photography, including editing, business, self-worth, etc. All this in addition to a private Facebook group. Now, I'm not a great lover of Facebook, but most members of Sue Bryce Education find this to be a great resource and a great place for information, advice, and support from other members, mentors, and Sue Bryce herself. Personally, I find Sue Bryce Education to be one of the best values in all of photography, and I think it's well worth the money. Of course, there are other offerings on the website, but if you are interested in Sue Bryce Education, I suggest you simply start with a monthly subscription and skim through as much material as you can and then decide if this platform works for you and whether or not you should continue to a second month. Another excellent education platform is Tomaya Colvin's Education. And in its own way, it's similar to Sue Bryce, but where Tomaya Colvin has made her mark is her emphasis on inclusivity of race, ethnicity, the LGBTQ community, and gender. And that's not to say that other platforms are not inclusive, but Tomaya Colvin essentially stepped up long before other educators recognized that there are indeed inequities and lack of opportunity in front of and behind the camera for people who are minorities. If you want to dive deep into lighting, master photographer Matthew Jordan Smith offers the photography lighting course. This course runs about $1,000 or a little bit more, but payments are divided and total payment is less if it's paid in full. This is a great example of paying for something valuable, but it's only valuable if you maximize your use of the course so it's worth what you paid for it. If not, you've wasted about $1,000. In addition to the course, you also gain access to a private Facebook group that meets weekly with Matthew Jordan Smith. So it's an intimate gathering of members of his group, and he discusses all matters related to photography, to lighting, and even social issues. If you're interested in learning Photoshop beyond the basics, Aaron Nace offers Flern. Flern costs about $10 a month at the subscription level. You can also watch Flern on YouTube first, but there's a great deal more information beyond what's offered on YouTube in the Flern subscription plan. I recommend you start watching him on YouTube, though, to see if his style of teaching works for you. Aaron Nace's love of creativity makes learning Photoshop totally enjoyable. So here I've given you four examples of subscription memberships: Sue Bryce, Tomaya Colvin, Matthew Jordan Smith, and Flern. There are several other excellent subscription services out there, but again, you have to be smart about how you spend your money, because in addition to these educational subscriptions, like most photographers, you're probably already subscribing to Adobe for Lightroom and Photoshop, or you're subscribing to Capture One with a cost between $10 to $20 per month. So clearly, the cost of photography education can be pricey, and that's before we talk about things such as live conferences that involve travel and lodging costs. I say all this assuming that there will come a time when we will be able to attend live conferences again. I can dedicate an entire episode to attending workshops and conferences, so here, I'll just make a few comments. Like everything else I've talked about today in this episode, if you're going to pay to attend a live event, get your money's worth every way possible. Ideally, avoid conferences that are basically all-day lectures and try to go for those conferences that combine lectures and live activities such as outdoor photo shoots or photo walks. Big conferences can be pricey even when they're local. I live 30 minutes from New York City. Attending a conference or an expo in New York is still costly, even when I commute into the city on the days for the conference. Again, choose which conferences you attend carefully so that you get the most out of it. In 2019, I attended the Evolution Workshop in Italy, sponsored by Graffi Studio and King & Fields Photography Studios. There I met great people, I learned so much, and hands down, it was life-changing. It was a life-changing event. It changed the way I do business, and it opened my eyes to so many possibilities. It was worth every penny that I spent for the workshop and then some. This was a case of not just education, but personal growth. So here are my top 10 tips at last when it comes to photography education. 1. Keep your total subscription cost to less than $100 a month. By subscription, I mean all of your photography-related subscriptions, including your photo editing software. Tip number 2. Choose memberships that provide a vast array of content, posing, lighting, business, etc., and that provide speakers who specialize in different areas of photography, retouching, lighting, styling, etc. And those additions come to you at no extra cost. Think Tamaya Colvin Education or Sue Bryce Education. You get the best bang for your buck with these types of subscriptions. If you believe you need to invest in a particular course, for example, lighting or learning more Photoshop or anything that will benefit and help you, either as a paid in full subscription or a limited monthly payment, make sure to get the value of that course by watching it in its entirety and completing the course. If the course offers a monthly payment plan and a one-time payment, try your best to pay in full, as this usually ends up saving you some money. But if paying it in full means putting it on a credit card, well, you'll have to pay interest over time, doing the monthly payment may end up costing you less. This is something that you have to figure out. Number 4, if a subscription offers a Facebook group or any type of in-person interaction, take advantage and join the group so that you can ask questions and get the support you need to improve your skills. Don't be shy. You've paid to be a member and you belong there. Number 5, avoid buy it now, it will never be this price again pitches. This is how many photographers end up with purchasing items such as videos, presets, overlays that they end up not using. The item may be on sale, but if it was not an item that you were looking for to begin with, buying it at sale price doesn't make financial sense. The best way around this, keep a running list of things that you'd like to own. Certain videos by certain educators, gear, presets. Number 6, avoid paying full price. Most businesses will offer reduced pricing throughout the year, and it's doubtful that you ever really need a particular course or class immediately. So practice delayed gratification, and wait till Black Friday, Cyber Monday, the Christmas season, New Year's sale. You don't want to experience the pain of having paid full price, then a week later or a few weeks later, seeing the same item drastically reduced. Number 7, choose to purchase from someone who teaches in a style that complements your learning style. Remember, knowing something doesn't make anyone a great or even a good educator. Teaching, like photography, is a skill. This is the number one reason why so many of us have so many videos and purchases on the same topic. It's not so much the content, it's the way it's taught. Number 8, always remember, those beautiful photos that you see with offers for presets and overlays, there were beautiful photos before those assets were applied, or they should have been. There's no magic bullet to great photos, so learn your camera and learn to edit before buying a library's worth of presets, overlays, and other assets that you just may never use. Number 9, subscribe to people who are masters of their craft. Sue Bryce, Matthew Jordan Smith, Joel Grimes, Jerry Gionis, Aaron Nace, Lola Milani, Kelly Brown, Tamaya Colvin. Stay away from people you've never heard of and who you just come across as you're scrolling through Instagram. If you happen to find someone who looks interesting but may not be well known, look at their website and do some Google investigating to make sure they're as legit as they appear before spending your money. Number 10, look at what you already own before you buy more. It's just like clothes. Like, how many of us have multiple pairs of black pants, and do you really need to buy another one? Or if you're a woman, it's like lipstick. You're in a store, you see a shade of lipstick that you really like, you get home only to find it's pretty similar to the last lipstick that you purchased. It's pretty much the same with photography. Do you really need another video on posing or another video on lighting? So those are my top 10, but I'm going to keep going. Number 11, try to make non-premium or free versions work for you before signing up for full price memberships. Think of Canva. If you use Canva for advertising in your photography, there's a lot that you can do with the free or non-premium version before having to pay for the monthly membership. Lastly, and I know this is going to be a tough one, but this has made so much of a difference in my photography education. When it comes to watching instructional videos, especially when it comes to lighting, pose, editing with Lightroom, Photoshop, Capture One, or just handling adjustments in your camera, I recommend that you take the time to first watch a video, maybe take notes, and then rewatch while actually doing the instructions. And I recommend this as opposed to watching a video the first time while trying to do whatever the instructor is directing you to do. Most of the time, you end up having to pause the video, go back, rewind, and for me, that's just a little too frustrating because most of the time you don't have to rewind just once. You keep going back over and over again. And that's because the person giving the instructions, they're not considering that there's a learner on the other end. I found that when I just watch for the first time, then watch again while following the instructions, I learn whatever it is I'm trying to learn a lot faster. Now, this doesn't work for everyone, but I've recommended it to other people and they've come back to me and said it did work for them. So give it a try. Okay, guys, that is it for this episode. I hope this helps you with your photography education. Remember, be smart about spending your money and select to follow and to subscribe to people who are strong educators and who are helping you. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Clued Up with me, your host, Maria B. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. I really appreciate your support. When you rate, subscribe, and review, you're also helping other listeners find and enjoy this podcast. Until next time.